You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. There's a lot to get to with a very interesting report coming out on Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes. I'll tell you about that coming up in just a moment. He also has a big honor. He talks a little bit about the last 4 years at Tennessee, and also the state of Tennessee basketball. What he said on Sunday is going to be very important when you hear about the report that came out. That's coming up in segment number one. In segment number two, a thought on some of the reports on Tennessee's football team with a scrimmage this past weekend on Saturday and the orange and white game coming up this weekend. We're 6 days away. I'll get to that in segment number two. And then some thoughts coming out of the weekend as the Auburn basketball game has an ending very similar to Tennessee's game against Purdue. Stephen Pearl talks about what the officials might have seen and a thought on how difficult that position might be. Also, I'll clear the air on some of that. All that's coming up right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. It's available on the new Himalaya app as well as iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, your smart speaker, Spotify. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find Locked On Vols. So Evan Daniels had a report on Sunday night, and it involved the UCLA head basketball job and Rick Barnes. Evan Daniels wrote that Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes has emerged as a serious candidate in UCLA's head coaching search. He cited multiple sources telling 24/7 Sports about that. The Bruins have gone a number of different directions, it looks like, in their search to replace Steve Alford, who was fired at midseason back on December 31st. Jamie Dixon's name has been mentioned with the job. He's at TCU. Cincinnati coach Mick Cronin has been mentioned with the job. Now, Dixon's $8 million buyout at TCU reportedly kept UCLA and Dixon from getting a deal done. Well, Rick Barnes has a buyout of $5 million. So that is less than $8 million, but it's still a pretty significant number. Barnes is currently making $3.25 million. He received a contract extension last fall. He's the second highest paid coach in the SEC, so he's already making a ton of money. Now, there was a report as well that UCLA was willing to go up to about $8 million for John Calipari if he were willing to leave Kentucky. He was not willing to leave Kentucky. Right now, with this report coming out, my initial reaction is this is going to be something that will help Rick Barnes get another extension and raise. And he was probably going to get that anyway. He just led Tennessee to a 31-win season and to the Sweet 16. And if Barnes' name is legitimately in play at UCLA, this helps him get even more money. I could be proven wrong here, and if I'm proven wrong, I think a lot of people would be proven wrong, but I just can't see Rick Barnes leaving Tennessee at this stage in his career with the connections he has to this area, to North Carolina, where he's from, to go all the way out west. Now, UCLA is a program with a ton of history, and historically, the UCLA job is obviously much better than the Tennessee job. So 10 years ago, 20 years ago, if Rick Barnes were Tennessee's coach and UCLA came calling, I would have almost expected him to leave to take that job. I would expect anybody to leave and take that job at that point. But Rick Barnes, at this point in his career, I think the thought for everybody has been that this is his last stop. He's 64 years old, which I think is a lot younger than a lot of people make that age out to be. I think he still has a good number of years left. I just would be really surprised if Rick Barnes were to take off for Tennessee for the UCLA job. There would have to be something else going on behind the scenes to me for Rick to want to leave Tennessee. He is in a position where Tennessee has to replace, we know, Admiral Schofield and Kyle Alexander and potentially Grant Williams and Jordan Bone. Right now, they're making plans to have to replace Jordan Bone. But still, Tennessee basketball has been built over the last few years to a position where Josiah James is coming in this upcoming fall. In the next class, Corey Walker is already committed, and other highly touted players are looking at Tennessee. So Rick has put Tennessee in this position where it is considered among the top programs in the country. At this point, would he really jump to go to UCLA? Again, it just seems incredibly unlikely. If he did leave, it would be terrible for Tennessee. Now, he has put Tennessee in a better position, but if Rick Barnes were to leave, is Josiah James really still going to come to Tennessee? You think Corey Walker staying committed, especially with the news that Rob Lanier is leaving to be Georgia State's head coach. That news came out Friday. I doubt it, right? And then you look at the SEC and the coaches that are coming in. Eric Musselman is now the head coach at Arkansas. Buzz Williams got hired at Texas A&M. The league's loaded with coaches. That would not make it appealing for Tennessee to have to go hire a coach to go up against those coaches. Rick Barnes was just named the Naismith National Coach of the Year on Sunday, but the timing of that is interesting. So he's named the National Coach of the Year on Sunday, and he sat down with Andy Katz, who does some work for NCAA.com, and they had an interview. So I wanted you to hear a couple of minutes of their conversation with Andy Katz talking to Rick Barnes about the award. That's where the conversation begins, but listen to where it leads. This is Andy Katz talking to Rick Barnes on Sunday. So just a few hours before a report comes out that Rick Barnes' name is in play at UCLA, talking about Rick Barnes being named the Naismith National Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think what it means more than anything is the fact that you have surrounded yourself with players and coaches, because I've always felt, even though they're individual awards, they really are team awards. And when you look at the success that – and you don't win these awards if you don't have success. And you look at this game, our players, the way they've worked hard to develop, I've always – thought that I had the best coaches with me, and so it's really a compliment and an honor to our entire program.
When you left Texas, and it was pretty quick that you landed at Tennessee, what were your expectations?
To do what we're doing, I mean, because, you know, I grew up 3 hours, you know, east of Knoxville in Hickory, North Carolina, and I knew about the basketball tradition at Tennessee, and my wife went there for a year during the Ernie and Bernie years, and so I knew that the Vol Nation was a group that wanted to be good, and they had been good. You go back and look over the last, in my time in basketball, 40 years, they've been good. Could you sustain it? And we're at that point now where we've made ourselves relevant. Now can we continue to stay there and continue to grow the program?
You have bounced around, but in a good way. I mean, you've been in a lot of different spots. What is it about Tennessee at this point in your life and career that has made it such a good fit?
Well, I think a lot of things came together, but I still have a lot of people that, I mean, you look at our staff, you know, they were with me at Texas, or they've either played for me somewhere along the way, and or I've known them some way, somehow. But I think the fact is that, you know, where Tennessee is right now, they were looking for something. And I think that our basketball program the last 2 years has been a rallying point around our university, and with the success they've had. But I think more importantly, Andy, is the fact that they've watched these guys grow up. You know, 4 years ago, this team, we had Kyle Alexander, who was going to go to Texas with us in redshirt. He came in, had to play. Had only been playing 5 years of organized basketball. Admiral Schofield, Lamonte Turner, who had to sit out a year. You know, we had two walk-ons, Lucas Campbell and Brad Woodson. And then we added Grant's class with Bowden and Bone and that group of guys. And we lost 19 games 4 years ago, 16 3 years ago, and then it clicked. But I think more importantly, people have watched these guys grow up. And they've really done a great job in the community and letting people know. And we've let them come in and see how it's done. And I just think we've somewhat created a love affair between, you know, the Vol Nation and this basketball team.
So when Rick Barnes is talking about Tennessee, he seems to be talking about it not only in the present, but in the future, right? And what Tennessee has built and what they're continuing to do. So he doesn't sound like somebody who has the thought that he's leaving Tennessee for another job. But Evan Daniels has that report from 247 Sports, and Evan's very good, by the way. I think he's one of the best national college basketball guys. He's the writer who had the interview, so the person who broke the news that Jordan Bone is declaring for the draft, and he also had the news that Corey Walker had committed to Tennessee. Evan's really good. And then also Sunday evening, Ben Bulch, who is the UCLA beat writer for the LA Times, he reported, first of all, he said that he can confirm Evan's report is true, that Rick Barnes is a serious candidate for the UCLA job, and also said the latest that he's heard is that Rick Barnes and Lon Kruger, who's at Oklahoma, have been interviewed for the UCLA job, with Barnes considered the front runner. He is 2 years younger than Kruger, and Bulch added that he was told Rick Barnes would definitely accept the UCLA job if formally offered it. I said that I would be surprised to see Rick Barnes leave, and I think a lot of people would be surprised to see Rick Barnes leave. But at this point, just seeing the report and completely dismissing it would seem like an error, right? When you have Evan Daniels, national writer, and then a beat writer covering UCLA for the LA Times saying that he's in play, especially with the report that Rick has interviewed for the job. If Rick's interviewed for the job, if that's true, then there is some kind of interest. So let's see what happens. If something happens, I would think that it happens very quickly. And I'll say again, this would be just a tremendous problem for Tennessee basketball if Rick Barnes were to leave. Because at that point, it's almost impossible to believe that Grant Williams or Jordan Bone would come back. With Rick Barnes leaving, with Rob Lanier leaving, you'd be looking at a new staff coming in. And then the fact that it would be unlikely, I think, Josiah James would want to stick with Tennessee, and the other players committed in the future would be looking elsewhere. Now, you can go get another coach. But as I said, you have a league now with, I think, even better coaching in the SEC. And man, this would put a lot of pressure on Philip Fulmer to go out and find a really good coach to keep Tennessee at expectations that might be a little unrealistic for the next guy coming in. So if I'm Philip Fulmer, I'm making sure Rick Barnes gets whatever he wants to stay at Tennessee. And I say that assuming that the conversation would be reasonable. If Rick Barnes says, I want $8 to $10 million to be Tennessee's coach, well, then I don't think I'd be doing that. But he's at $3.25 million. If he wants $4.25, if he wants $4.5, you're getting that done. I'm just throwing out numbers here. The point being, Tennessee really cannot afford to lose Rick Barnes here, and it could be potentially a disaster. So this is probably going to move quickly. That's why I started this conversation. I said, let's get the podcast going here because of the report that came out Sunday night. I would say UCLA wants to get something done quickly. And if Rick Barnes is going to stay at Tennessee, I would think he gets that taken care of very quickly. So by the time you hear this conversation, something might have changed and it might have been finalized one way or the other. So this is no doubt a big deal, and I would still walk away surprised if Rick Barnes is leaving Tennessee for UCLA. But there is a lot of talk around it, and add this to the conversation. Jeff Goodman, national college basketball writer, just tweeted this. Source on Rick Barnes to UCLA, quote, "Don't be surprised if it happens. I think it's real on both sides." So with all that attention, this is a very serious situation to pay attention to with Tennessee and Rick Barnes. Maybe he stays, and he very well could, but this would be a big deal for Tennessee, obviously, if Rick Barnes were to leave Tennessee for UCLA. Coming up here on Locked On Vols, I will shift the conversation to football. The Vols had a scrimmage this past Saturday. Some thoughts coming out. There's a player on offense who continues to emerge and get his name talked about. I'll tell you about him coming up next on Locked On Vols, which is a part of the Himalaya app. Remember, to get this show every day, you can subscribe to Locked On Vols on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. You can download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Vols. So as Tennessee basketball continues to get the main focus, Tennessee football is in the final week of spring practice. This is easily the quietest spring I can remember going through, and a number of reasons why. One, Tennessee football has closed off pretty much all of spring practice, so very little of it has been seen, including the two scrimmages that they've had. They have been completely closed the last two weekends, but also because of everything going on with Tennessee basketball, from the postseason run, the NCAA tournament, and now this UCLA report. But I want to get some football talk in, of course. And Tennessee with the scrimmage on Saturday, one player who continues to get talked about and continues to show up and make plays is Josh Palmer. His name was being talked about after last week's scrimmage, and this past Saturday he had a touchdown catch, which Tennessee actually showed the end of in a highlight loop it put out on the official Twitter account, and it was Josh Palmer beating Alante Taylor for a touchdown down the right sideline. Now, when this happens, you can, of course, play the conversation of, well, that's good for Josh Palmer to make a play. That's not good for Alante Taylor to give up a touchdown. You are going to have the conversation both ways back and forth when you're talking about a team going up against itself. But sticking with the offensive side, while the wide receiver conversation consistently starts with Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings, and it probably should, Josh Palmer has continued to show up in these scrimmages and make plays and get himself talked about, and he is a player who has developed over the last two-plus seasons. He's entering his junior season. I don't know what level Josh Palmer is going to play at this fall, but he's a guy that showed up kind of physically looking the part as an SEC player. I don't think he's an elite-level athlete, but he's a guy with good enough speed. He can make plays down the field. He's shown the ability to get open down the field. And after his freshman season, the real question was, okay, can he go catch the football? And I think this past season, he improved there. He made some plays down the field. Remember that Auburn game? Josh Palmer played an important role there. So if he is continuing to develop, then Palmer could be that third receiver. Maybe he's a top two guy. But he helps Tennessee feel more comfortable with at least three guys and alleviate some pressure on someone like freshman wide receiver Ramel Keaton or another receiver coming in, Jared Means. We'll see what he's able to do early on. He's going to be on the show a little bit later this week, by the way. Jared was at the scrimmage this past Saturday. He's enrolling this summer. But at wide receiver, Tyler Bird's a guy we continue to talk about. Jordan Murphy. Will D'Angelo Gibbs be a part of the wide receiver group this fall? Will he be eligible? You know, we don't know that. Jaquez Jones is there. But I think that top three is most likely to be Marquez Callaway, Juwan Jennings, and Josh Palmer, especially as Palmer continues to show up and make plays when Tennessee's football team scrimmages. Also, reports out of the weekend showed more compliments to the defensive side of the ball. Remember, early in spring, Jeremy Pruitt was not happy with how the defense was performing and said that the offense was ahead, and maybe it still is. But the defense had better reviews coming out of the weekend, and a true freshman, Warren Burrell, made another interception this past weekend. Perhaps he can be a guy that can help provide depth at cornerback. You know Alante Taylor is going to be out there. You know about Bryce Thompson. Baylen Buchanan will, of course, play. There are a number of young players, first and second year defensive backs, who will have a chance to help Tennessee. Nigel Warrior will be back there at safety. And then you have a group that includes Theo Jackson, a third year guy. And then Trayvon Flowers is a second year safety coming up. And Warren Burrell is a corner who will have a chance to play right away. Let's see what Tyus Fields can do. Jalen McCullough, he can help Tennessee at safety potentially. I think there's a good chance of that. But pay attention to Warren Burrell. If he continues to make plays, that's something that Jeremy Pruitt has talked about, including this spring, that Tennessee's defensive players need to figure out ways to make plays. You can mention the, well, he's making a play against a Tennessee offensive player, against a quarterback. That's no good. But Jeremy Pruitt still wants to see his defensive guys go take the football away. That's been a big staple of Jeremy Pruitt's defenses when they were at their best. Now, they were at their best largely because they had the best athletes on the field at Alabama and Florida State and Georgia for the most part during his 2 years there. But they were really good at forcing turnovers. And sometimes turnovers involve luck, but you can make your own luck sometimes. And Jeremy Pruitt emphasizes that with his defense. Most coaches do. Jeremy Pruitt has been more successful with it in the past. So Warren Burrell, there's a young player to pay attention to this Saturday. He'll wear number 14. Josh Palmer, by the way, is back to wearing number 5 for Tennessee. Couple of guys for you to watch this upcoming Saturday. And coming up this week, I'll have more Tennessee football talk. The Vols will be back on the practice field Tuesday afternoon, and we'll hear from Jeremy Pruitt after practice. So he'll talk a little bit about Tennessee's second scrimmage and what to pay attention to this upcoming Saturday. But a lot of football talk this week with Tennessee getting ready for the orange and white game. Coming up in just a moment, Auburn with a similar ending in its Final Four game this past weekend to Tennessee-Purdue. Some thoughts on it coming up here as that got a lot of the attention out of the weekend with the Final Four. The national championship game is set tonight with Texas Tech taking on Virginia for the title. So I'll get to Auburn's ending, which ended up affecting Tennessee's former coach, Bruce Pearl. That coming up, plus a football commitment to tell you about right here on Locked On Vols. If you want to send me any questions or comments for the show, if you want to vent to me about what's going on with Tennessee athletics right now, depending on how things play out, at Josh_Ward is where you can find me on Twitter. I'm on Facebook as well, facebook.com/Josh Ward. Follow the page there. Send me a question or comment anytime you like. So you probably saw what happened at the end of the Auburn-Virginia game. Virginia is down 2 with under 5 seconds to go. They need a quick shot. They're down 2. The ball goes to the corner with Kyle Guy. He hoists up a 3 where if it goes and it's good, then Virginia's going on to the national title game. He misses the shot, but the official blew his whistle. He called a foul. It was very similar, not identical, but very similar to the Lamonte Turner-Carson Edwards play at the end of regulation against Purdue. One difference here is that Guy made all three of his free throws, and that's ball game. Virginia wins in regulation. That's it. Tennessee and Purdue, of course, went to overtime. Edwards missed the first free throw, then made the next two. But it is a play where the officials saw contact with Guy. It was not hard contact, but it was contact. And actually, a difference here is that the shooter was hit before he released the basketball. The contact with Edwards appeared to be with the basketball having already been released. We also got a better angle on the TV broadcast. Once they were able to show the front of Guy, you could see that he was hit. Again, not hard, but contact was made. There's no doubt that Dowdy from Auburn hit Guy in the hip leg area before he released the basketball. It's actually kind of an easy call when you see that. It's unfortunate. I hate that a game ends with that being a factor, but I would also say don't foul him. And all credit to Dowdy. He was extremely professional in the way that he acted and answered questions and said, hey, I'm here to answer your questions about it. And I don't think they lost because of that either. He's trying to contest the shot. He got up into the shooter and he fouled him. That's something that happens. But there was also a double dribble play that was talked about before that with Jerome for Virginia trying to move the basketball up the floor. He did commit a double dribble. He dribbled the ball off his foot, lost control, went and picked it back up. That's supposed to end the dribble, but he continued to push it up the floor. He then gets fouled, and that led to the Kyle Guy play. But what was also missed before the double dribble was a foul by Bryce Brown. Bryce Brown is trying to foul because they have a foul to give, so he's trying to stop the play. He reaches out and grabs Ty Jerome's jersey. The official missed that call, and then he missed the double dribble call. So he actually missed two, and either way, the play should have ended up with Virginia inbounding the basketball after a foul. Actually, missing that first foul allowed Auburn to have more time run off the clock. So I'm sure you've seen or heard about the double dribble. They did miss a double dribble, but before that, they missed a foul on Auburn. But listen to what Stephen Pearl said after the game. This is former Tennessee basketball player. He's an assistant there under his father, Bruce, talking about what happened there and talking about, you know, how difficult it can be for the officials at times. But this is Stephen Pearl. He's going to talk about the double dribble a little bit, but also remember what the official's job actually is on the court.
I thought in the series before that, it was a double dribble. I don't know if we touched the ball, though. I don't know if one of our guys got a hand on it or not. That's such a bang-bang play. Like, you know, how's the referee supposed to see that he kicked the ball as opposed to our guy touching it? So that's a tough one. It looked from our side like he kicked it and our guy didn't touch it. But, you know, it's just one of those things you got to deal with. We also, you know, we missed a free throw at the end. We could have made plays earlier in the game to win the game. Getting down 10 with 5 minutes to a team that slows the ball down so much, for us to like get up two with you know, a couple seconds left, that's amazing.
So that was Stephen Pearl, obviously disappointed, and he thought that it was a double dribble. And again, a double dribble did occur. They missed a foul before that as well, but also talking about how difficult in the moment it can be to see that. I don't think the official's job is easy. I don't think that they are perfect at their job either. I'm not sitting here saying, hey, good job on missing two calls there late, because that's what ended up happening before. But also, the foul call was correct. May not like it. You may be a person that says swallow your whistle there. But if we're going to criticize an official for making a correct call, then the official stand no chance. If they are going to be criticized for getting something correct, then I don't know what to tell them to make them feel better. So it's unfortunate that it ends that way. This is always going to be talked about with Auburn basketball forever. Auburn basketball fans will be talking about the double dribble. They'll be talking about the foul call at the end. And that's why I said last week, forever, we'll be talking about the Lamonte Turner, Carson Edwards foul. At least in the Tennessee game, it did go to overtime. There was still a 5-minute stretch to determine a winner. It just turned out that Purdue was the winner at the end. In this game, the three free throws ended it in regulation, and that's a shame. But that's part of the game as well. One more note before I let you go. Ebony Jackson is a running back from Kell High School in Marietta, Georgia. They've produced some really nice talent. That's a good program down there. Ebony Jackson committed to Tennessee over the weekend. He is a 6'1", 205-pound running back. He's not an incredibly highly rated player, but I would say possesses the tools and the size that Jeremy Pruitt is looking for. A 205-pound running back at the high school level, if he adds a little bit more weight, could be a nice in-between the tackles runner. So he committed to the Vols over the weekend. Ebony Jackson out of Marietta, Georgia. And, of course, Tennessee has put a lot of time and will continue to do so into recruiting the state of Georgia. Tennessee currently has five commitments in the 2020 class. That ranks number 25 nationally. There's, of course, a long way to go with the 2020 class. That is going to do it for Locked On Vols today. Thanks so much for hanging out here. We'll see what happens with Rick Barnes and UCLA. Again, I would think that this moves quickly, whatever the outcome is. I'll still walk away surprised if Rick Barnes is UCLA's coach, but you have multiple writers, one Evan Daniels as well as Jeff Goodman, and then the LA Times beat writer saying Rick Barnes is in play here. He's a serious candidate. So take the report seriously. Thanks again for hanging out on Locked On Vols. Remember to download and subscribe, rate and review the show as well. And I'll see you right back here tomorrow on Locked On Vols.